Another point I'd like to make here, as we emphasized in the beginning, the dignity of his person, that he was made the high priest, but careful, guarded against the fact he's also the Son of God. Now, in the portions we've had here, notice chapter 7, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was. This man. Also here now in our verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. As we know, Hebrews begins pointing out to us the Son of God. In the second chapter, as the Son of Man, he became flesh. In order to be a high priest or intercede for us, he had to take on flesh and blood. He became man. But he gave up nothing when he became man. He gave up nothing that he ever was, the Son of God. But so he wants us now to consider this one who stooped so low and he made atonement. This man, consider how great he is. And so he compares that now with the work that he's done, and that it's a man, the man Christ Jesus, that is there functioning in the glory for us. That has the different aspects. Because of that, he is able to sympathize and to for our need and suffering, as was pointed out. But on the other hand, he has access, he can lead us on in access into the presence of God. We'll come to that when it comes to our service and ministry in Peter's epistle. But that is the great foundation for it, to have such an high priest as this, or to have, as he says, consider how great this man is, who is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us, has been pointed out to us. But he is able to save to the uttermost. That is, he is able to carry us through. It's not that we can be sure of our eternal salvation. That's not the question here now. It's the being brought through this scene and all of the opposition and the difficulties that are there, but he is brings us safely through right to the end, to his presence.
So, Brother Jake, just for clarity, the priesthood of Jesus Christ is in relation to his people only, not to the world.
That's great.
The world needs a Savior.
Yeah, that's it.
The believers not only needed a Savior, and I don't want to run ahead, but the beauty about it is this, and the question again, why do you need a high priest? Isn't Savior enough? Isn't Lord enough? Isn't head enough? No, you need a high priest, and I think later on, I'm not jumping ahead, when we get to that point about his function as a priest, we will understand we need a priest. But believers need a priest. The world needs a Savior.
Yeah, I just wanted to move us along. The last point is the character of the priest in verse 26. So we have him, he's called or ordained, he's consecrated by an oath, he has a continuous and changeless priesthood, but his character is he's holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners. He brings that dignity to the office. By contrast, when Aaron went in to do his priestly service, he was always mindful of his own weakness, of his own failure, of his own shortcomings. With the Lord Jesus Christ, none of that is present. And this becomes essential because we're going to move now to, you know, as we consider this point, we'll move to the work as his priestly ministry, getting into the one sacrifice and the superiority of that one sacrifice, but then also the ministry that he occupies now, and that will fill the rest of the study for this morning, his present ministry to believers. And we've touched on it a little bit, but we'll get into a little more detail. But the last characteristic is he's holy. Consistent with the holy God with whom we are being, with whom we have to do. He's harmless, he's undefiled, he's in a condition that is suitable to address the difference, the difficulty that we have who has been fallen compared to God in his greatness and holiness.
It's in contrast to Aaron, of course, and we can say it that Aaron's priesthood wasn't good enough for us. We needed the Lord Jesus' priesthood. That expression that it says in verse 26, it was fitting for us. We really needed another priest other than Aaron. And this is a distinct. We have to make a transition away from Aaron. All believers in Christ need to make that transition. And I have said before, we mix Judaism and Christianity quite frequently in Christianity. It's because we haven't moved from Aaron to the Lord Jesus. We need to do that. And then we will not be mixed up with robes and incense and candles and rote prayers and all of that other thing that's connected with Judaism. We will be going directly to the Lord Jesus. And in this list of characteristics, cannot be said of Aaron. Aaron wasn't holy in the sense that the Lord is holy. The Lord, there was nothing in him. The word harmless, it indicates there was no guile in the Lord Jesus. There was nothing in him. There was no sin in him. Undefiled. Nothing could defile the Lord. Even the sin from around him. We are defiled by the sin around us, not the Lord Jesus. He is completely separate from that. And Aaron was defiled by it. So much so that Aaron, as we read in verse 27, he couldn't just offer on behalf of the other people. He had to offer first for himself. The Lord did not have to offer for himself like Aaron did, because the Lord never committed a sin. His work was entirely for our benefit. He was our substitute. He was judged not for any sin he committed, but for the sins we committed. God placed judgment upon him for our sins. This is what the Lord did. And these characteristics are beautiful. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, as we've said, and not needing to offer up for himself. So perhaps others could add to these thoughts of these words. They're beautiful. They're unique to the Lord Jesus.
I wonder if, in light of this, the garments that were mentioned earlier that Aaron was required to wear, the garments are these features, and not Aaron. But with the Lord Jesus, those garments that that Aaron wore are him. In all of his character, in all of his way, they are him. And that's what Aaron wore. And that's the only thing that was acceptable about the Aaronic priesthood, was those garments. Because they spoke of holiness. He wore it right here. Holiness unto Jehovah. It was right on the forehead. And every feature of those garments is Christ. And his character, and his ways, and his work, and his ministry. And so that's the only thing that was acceptable, was what spoke of Christ. And so it wasn't Aaron himself. Aaron was a sinner, like all of us, and never would be improved. The flesh can't be improved. But those garments were Christ himself. And that these things that we read in this section in Hebrews, that's what those garments spoke of. And Israel never saw it. They were never given to understand. They never knew this. They never understood that those things were not just pretty. But remember, there was blood sprinkled all over them.
Yep.
You would say, that ruined them. No, this is what it's all about. This is what it meant. It was all about him. Always. God always had this in his thoughts. Christ was always the center of all of his plans and purposes.